Can you tell me a bit more about some of the older men who were at the pit in your time?
There were one fella. This fella, he worked in shop with us. He was lathe turner. He was a character. He used to live with his sister at Swillington. And he'd come, and it didn't matter what weather were like, he'd never have his collar fastened up, he'd never have a scarf on. He was hard as nails. And in them days, we used to have to take a bottle of tea to work. We didn't have a... couldn't go at canteen. There was no canteen at the time. Anyway, so we used to warm it on fire, up round the stove. And then, as you drank it, you'd leave a little bit and we'd throw it away. But Teddy, Paul, he wouldn't let us throw it away. He had an old tin mug like that. And we all... everybody put the droppings in. He used to drink it. Ah! And... another thing we used to do, and he smoked a pipe, and he used to leave it at end at bed at lathe, and we'd pick it up, knock backer out, put some stauffer fat in, and when he got it, he's going, it's grand as this. So, it stinks dead. We went to his house, me and Derek Gator, once, to see a football match. He was only bloke that had a television at that time, and he asked us if he wanted a cup of tea. So I said, no, Derek Gator said he'd have one. So I'm watching him, and he gets teapot. He gets a quarter of tea, you know, like packets of tea like they used to be. He opened the top, put all tea in teapot. So I says, Ted, I says, what you done? You put all tea in there? Oh, he says, I do it, last me a fortnight. He says, he poured it out, it was like paint coming out. Lovely.
And he just topped it up with water every time he wanted it.
Yeah. Oh, right.
What was his name again? Is that Teddy Poulterman?
Teddy Poulterman, yeah. He lived on Greenlee.
He was on the pit committee, the consultative committee.
Yeah, he could have been. I can't remember. But
he was voted on.
Yeah. We had this other older chap called Sam Homer, and he worked in Lamproom, but he'd been in this accident down pit, and that's why. But he had a stiff leg because he got injured, and when they took him to hospital, they said, we'll have to chop it off because it's no good. So he says, no, you're not going to chop it off. So they says, well, it's no good to you. He said, you still, I don't want it chopping off, leave it. And it stiffened up because he didn't move it. And
did he talk about the accident that he'd been involved
No. Well, he just mentioned it. He didn't say how it had happened or whatever had happened, what explosion, but also he used to mend watches as well. He could take your watch to him and he'd repair the watch, no problem at all. And he was foreman in the lamp room for a number of years. They brought the lamps in after they worked in that pit and to put them on charge for next shift. You had your own number and you always got that lamp, same lamp, every day, as long as you work down there. And also, they had a check, so with number on. So when they took the lamp, they put the check on hook for lamp. Then when they come out at pit, they put the lamp back on and took the check.
Did you have to have a check and a lamp as a fitter as well?
Yes, we did. Because, we went down pit. We had to go down and examine shafts sometimes with shaft men. Oh, as I say, we used to go on our pumps and creepers where tubs used to go up incline and then come back round back at pit to be sent up again for coal.
Can you remember my own granddad, Ernest Benson, in the lamp room?
He was all right, yeah. Yeah, we had him, Ernest Benson, Sam Homer. We had a adult commander who were a churchman. You never heard him swear or say out wrong.
There was somebody told me about a bloke who was called Flip Flop or something like that. He would never swear properly.
Oh, that might be Hamlin's man, were it? Joe Beards. I go to Osset, it's there. He was Hamlin's man on regular nights. And he used to, also besides being Hamlin's man, he used to drive pit van. He used to go pick canteen ladies up on the morning at 5 o'clock for them to come, because the canteen opened in at 6. And it was very rare he went down pit, because I think he'd been injured at pit, I'm not sure. And that's how he come to be regular ambulance man.
So each bit would have its own ambulance man, just in case there was an accident.
Their own ambulance. Yeah. We had his own ambulance as well. Yeah, they always had one there.
So if there was an accident, you could get somebody to hospital quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember accidents in your time?
Yeah, I do. I remember one. It was
Frank Ellis's dad.
Oh, Frank Ellis's dad got killed, but I don't know about that. It was just roof come down and that was it. This other fella that I'm thinking about, he worked on screens, as we've been talking about. And Loco, were going round back at screens, and it was snowing right heavy. And they could come down steps and walk across lines, you know, like where all trucks, wagons were lined up. And this fella is walking, he's got his head down. And look, he walked into Loki going, and it ran over his hand. I could picture it then. It chopped his, that much off. I can't think of his name. Of course, they had him into hospital, ambulance room first, then off to hospital.
And do you remember the incident in about 1956 when Billy Williams eventually got the George Medal?
Yeah, for that was when Harry Ellis got killed. And another fellow called... And he got lamed in it. There were two of them. Roof come down and buried him. Yeah, he got George Medal, did Billy Williams. Well, they reckoned he were there. Well, must have been there, but... Other fellas were there, but they didn't get up. It went to Ed Mann, you see.
What was it like going down the shaft in the cage?
Terrible. First time. I were at electricians and electrician boss, Bernard Tonkinson. He was electrician gaffer. And he said, Dennis, come on, you're coming down to pit with me today. So, all right, OK, I was thrilled about going to have a look round that pit. Anyway, we get in cage, just me and him. He says, now stand there and hold on to that middle part. There were a rail in between. So I stood there, and there's a hole at bottom, in middle, just about that round. Anyway, I'm stood there. Then we set off, and he picked up cage, then they just drop it like that. And we're going down, and I'd stood, never been in cage before, and wind's coming up, and it's in my face, you know, I was scared stiff. And we got off at Silston level, which is about 90 yards from bottom. So when we were coming out, we sat there waiting for a stern to come for cage, and it's a gap like this, we'll say, and it's going... Blooming, I thought, I'm not getting on that thing.
What, the cage was bouncing up and down?
No, it was going that fast when it come out of pit bottom with coal on or whatever. Boom! By the time he got there, he was doing top speed. And it was like whistling through. I thought, blimey, I'm getting on that thing no more.
Aye. But there weren't any steps to get out, were there?
No. There were no steps. Aye.
You got used to it, though, presumably.
Oh, yeah. But sometimes, you know, if Winder Walt Parker, he were a devil. He were Winder, number three shaft, which was riding shaft. And as you walk past his engine house, number three, there were a window and you could see him there. And if they shouted to him and called him names or what, you know what we're going to get. When he got your ink cage, then he'd lift it up off it, and then he'd pull gets out, and he'd drop it as though so you were going from when no rope on at all. It felt like, blimey. And he used to do that deliberate to some of the lads, you know, on purpose, just acting about, but could have been serious.